Good morning, Barbados. Welcome to Brass Tacks for January 7th. I'm Sanka Price, and I'll be with you until 2 p.m. As it's my first program for the year, I'd like to wish all of you who live in this beautiful island we call Barbados a happy, healthy, and a more prosperous 2020. At the controls today is Mr. Dennis Johnson, and his will be the first voice you'll hear when you contact us at 4341790 to share your views. You can also share your perspectives via WhatsApp at 266-4862. There's certainly quite a few issues that need to be discussed, but the one I want to focus on is the Bridgetown Transformation Project, which involves the demolition of the former National Insurance Building, as well as the construction of the Golden Square Freedom Park and completion of the Fairchild Street Market. We need to get an idea of, we need an overall explanation of the project, the proposed timelines for that project, how the demolition will be done, is there a traffic plan, and what sort of traffic plan they have in place. So we have on the lines Joyanne Haig. She is the CEO of Haig Communications, and that company is responsible for the public relations on this whole project. Joyanne, good morning.
Good morning, Sanka. How are you?
I am well, and since this is the first time I'm hearing you, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Oh, yes. Happy New Year to you, too.
Good.
And to Dennis.
He nods. Right, Joyanne.
Yes.
The overall, we like to get an explanation for the project in terms of what it's all about. Give us some idea, briefly, on what it's all about. And most important, the timelines. We have heard nothing about the timelines for this project.
Okay, first of all, the demolition process has to take place. Before that, you have to have the preparations, which would mean you're going to take the contents out of the building, which would be the NIS building. And, of course, you know that the fire service will also be demolished together with the temporary market right next to the fire service. So it's a process. Right now, as we speak, yesterday, fencing went up, not hoarding, but just the fencing, as the contractor now takes possession of the building. The timeline for demolition is under 3 months, but over the next 48 hours, we will have the exact time of completion of actual demolition. Obviously, that under 3 months includes the prep work and the demolition, not the demolition itself. So we will have timelines, providing no rain, of course. We make provision for things that, you know, in life that may occur, that may lead to some delays. But of course, throughout the project, everyone will be notified prior to the hoarding going up. And as I said before to the Nation newspaper and to the other media houses, that we want to make sure that the vendors are fully informed and the businesses and residents in that area that may be impacted directly by the demolition. And then, of course, the building of the Golden Square Freedom Park. In addition to that, you know that we are going to be doing the markets over on the other side, and that too will be happening as well as the demolition and the Freedom Park. So it's going to be a lot of activity. There is going to be a traffic management plan. There's also going to be a pedestrian plan, because we have to be mindful that there are a lot of people that walk in Bridgetown. And we certainly want to still encourage people to come into Bridgetown and do your shopping, because you don't want to see stores in the wider Bridgetown then being disadvantaged because people feel that is so much chaos. There's going to be some sort of, there's going to be some inconvenience, yes. But if you don't have to go into Bridgetown, for example, if you're traveling from Christchurch and you want to get onto the West Coast, then don't use that major artery in order to get there. But of course, as the days unfold, more information will come. Later today at 1 o'clock, we do have a meeting with Barvin. And, of course, as I said, it is important to speak to the individuals first before we speak to the media as to the plans for the vendors, businesses, and residents.
Joyanne, you made the point that the timeline could be at least 3 months.
No, I said under 3 months.
Under three months, sorry. Thank you for the correction.
Yes.
So the thing that happened in Fairchild Street last week, Wasn't that somewhat premature?
Well, let's just say that we're making a fresh start today, and you just want the vendors to know that we are mindful, all of us, in particular me, Sanka, because my mom and my sister came up with vending. My mom, obviously having her shop in town. Prior to that, every crop-over event, mom would always make things to sell. And at home, similarly, my big sister, you know, she sent her daughter to college by vending tamarind balls and sugar cakes. We have the utmost respect for our vendors. And it must be understood that nothing will happen until the discussion takes place with the vendors so that they will understand that, yes, there's going to be some level of inconvenience. However, this is the plan that we have for you moving forward, which will not only include you moving to your permanent home eventually, it's also going to include other things with assistance in marketing and some financial advice in terms of making sure that they're financially healthier in 2020. We want to lend assistance to the vendors on a broader scale. So there's a lot more that will happen behind the scenes for individuals that may be somewhat disadvantaged. And again, I want to apologize on behalf of all of the agencies for causing any undue stress for last week happening. But again, as we said, we're moving forward. Our company is on board, and we certainly look forward to working with all of the agencies, which I might add, include the Transport Board, the Transport Authority, Ministry of Environment. You also have the Fire Service. There are a lot of moving parts. Town Country Planning, of course, the contractors. There are a lot of moving parts, and we all have to be on the same page in terms of the messaging and getting it right. We may have some issues, and nothing goes in a straight line, as you all know, but we're hoping to minimize that, and if anything goes south, we're going to make sure we bring it back to where it needs to be. Mm-hmm.
I get the impression, though, since you didn't want to go into any detail, that a lot of these, in terms of the timelines and the traffic plan and whatnot, that you're actually still trying to fine-tune these details right now.
Well, let's just say that there is a traffic plan that, of course, that the committee, when I say the committee, the agencies, and particularly the Transport Board, the Transport Authority, we share with them and MTW and the contractors, make sure that we're all on the same page, make sure there's a traffic plan that makes sense to the public. We don't want to, and we want to avoid at all costs pulling back anything, walking back anything. Mm-hmm. So, of course, we want to be able to give us some time to make sure we get it right. And that's basically what's happening now. The location for the vendors, of course, we need to share that with Barvin and the vendors first. And, of course, the businesses in the immediate area along that strip next to Starcom. Obviously, we need to speak with them. I understand that they have had some discussions prior with BTII. And, of course, we will now go in and speak to them further on the project. The hoarding that will go up, obviously, it's going to be quite tall, and people will be notified well in advance before that structure actually goes up. So we're hopeful that Barbadians will tune into all of the credible media houses, because we will be making sure we put our messaging there. We will also have a Facebook page, and a hotline will be set up for persons who may want some more information about the progress of the project. But of course, we said that we will give everybody a play-by-play, as many pictures as we can possibly take when we get to the various stages. And I might, if I may add, once you get the top of the building down to a certain height, maybe then down to the first floor, you may then see then the hoarding come in a little bit to sort of free up the space for the roads and so on and so forth. And that is still within the under the 3 month period. So the inconvenience will vary based on traffic, and then of course it may be one or two businesses that may still be inconvenienced when that comes in, but everyone will be notified step by step. And I'm hoping that they don't panic, that they work with us and they bear with us, and we'll kind of walk them through the whole process.
One of the things, and I know that I'm stopping you from your 10 o'clock meeting, so I do appreciate this call.
That's all right. I'm in the car park of the 10 o'clock meeting.
One of the things that I know there's a lot of concern about is the move from Provin Street of those minibuses to the Cheapside facility.
The river terminal.
And because already the river terminal is crowded, it's small, and there are a lot of units to go there. But I'm wondering about the elderly and the ones who are not so mobile, who are accustomed taking the bus at Provin Street. Is there anything that can be done or is being looked at, certainly, to see if you can accommodate meeting them halfway so that they wouldn't have to walk that distance?
What I can tell you is that we don't speak on behalf of the Transport Board or the Transport Authority. However, we do manage a commuter advocacy program, Hague Communications, Inc., and it is our intention, and we are very mindful of this, and we will be putting on the table, well, it's public now, that when the project, as the project progresses and the roads open back, we're hopeful that a bus stop, like a bus shed, not for the vans to park, but something be put in place where people can still take the bus from there. You have to bear in mind the supermarket right next to you guys. And to walk across the street to the terminal.
Holding bags.
Exactly.
That's going to be very, very difficult.
People may say that they're push-out guys, but the push-out guys have to go pretty far. Mm-hmm. So even if they're being pushed out, it's still easier to push them out and go around the bend and get the bus. Mm-hmm. So I'm hopeful with our recommendation as the commuter advocacy, with the commuter advocacy program that we table then to the Transport Board and the Transport Authority, that some consideration will be given to put a bus shed there when the dust settles and the project, you know, more or less frees up the road and everything, life goes back to normal. We're hopeful that they would consider that and not the vans, because with the 5-minute rule, once the vans get out, they don't really have to worry about being full. They must know that if they do that, when they come around the bend by Provin Street, they'll be able to pick up more passengers.
Yeah.
But again, it is just a suggestion from us. We don't dictate to the authority nor to the Transport Board, but we do speak on behalf of the commuters. And I've had commuters already contacting me about that concern, and I did say that I was going to bring it to the table for consideration.
All right, Joanne. Well, Joanne, I'd like to thank you and for just at least giving us this update, so overall perspective of what is happening with the project. And I'm sure we can get some real details later on.
Of course. Right. As soon as we finish the meeting with Barben, of course, we will share the details about the vendors and the businesses with the wider public. But give them that respect and to let us do it one by one in terms of personally, up front, face-to-face, and then the wider public, okay?
All right, Joanne, thank you very much. And now we go to our first call. Good morning. You are on
good
the
morning,
air.
Thank you.
How are you today, sir?
Well, I'm pretty good. I am hustling here, but I said no, let me stay in and ask a couple of questions. I'm hustling here to carry some guests from Sunset Crest and Nicholas Abbey, which is a heritage site.
Yes.
Right? Now, let me ask you one question. Are they going to be two? One, I am not so sure, but yet I am sure. I heard that National Insurance building was given to the university. Could you check it out? That and the mutual building?
That was nearly a decade ago, yeah.
It was given away. It was given to the university.
But it was still under the management of the Ministry of Housing, sir.
All right, but it was given to the university. That's one.
Mm-hmm. You're correct.
You can't give something and take it back. If that
sir,
is the case, all right, let me
sorry,
finish.
Go ahead.
Let me
go ahead,
I won't run off. If they could take back that building that was given to the university, and I hear people calling and saying nothing is being done with it, so it could push down. Now, there's some land in St. Thomas that was given to the university too, and I would like the owners of Edgar to take back up that land and give it to some small farmers. Mm-hmm. That's one.
You say you're running away, but can't necessarily run away by making that statement and just not giving an explanation.
All right, go ahead.
As far as I know,
make it quick.
Both buildings were given to the university, one by the private sector, which is SagiCorp, and the next by government. The situation, as I said, I understand it, because I remember I had even asked Minister Kelman at the time about it. They were having discussions on it. I further asked other questions from some people at university, and the major concern was the amount of money that would have to be put into it to really make to bring it back up to the standard, to make it habitable for the purpose that they wanted for.
That was
the answer I was given that time, and that was several years ago. Okay?
I'm glad you interject with that statement. Thank you very much, Sanger.
In terms of the St. Thomas project, as far as I know, the last thing I heard about it, there were some preliminary discussions that were being done as to what exactly, how the sort of work that they were going to be doing with it. About a year or two ago. Okay?
Let me go back to what you were saying. You said the university said it would have cost a lot of money to get it back.
That's what I was told off the record, yes.
That means the building was not condemned. All right, let me go on to the last most important point. The most important point. Sanker, you know how much it will cost? What is the cost of the project? Did you tell the public how much it can cost? How much this project is going to cost the taxpayers? Where you're going to get the money from? Because we are in, according to the government, we are in a problem with money, cash. Where are you going to get this money from? And what is the amount of money that would cost to destroy and build this project?
The question that I would ask you is, what will it cost us if we just continue to keep the area the way it is? It will cost us nothing, right, in terms of cash. But we are trying... In terms of what is trying to be done here in this country is to lift the face of the capital. You would remember the same Independence Square and the same Wandering Cheapside, how they used to be like car parks, and unsightly, basically. And they were uplifted.
I expect
that from you. But you know what exactly what I'm talking about. And those of us who travel and who take pride, you see how beautiful those capitals other countries are. But would want to have Barbados beautiful as well. You know.
Okay.
So I think it's a bit myopic when you come with these sort of statements. Just let me explain it.
Let me finish the last.
You ask me a question and I give you an answer.
You just said the cost of that building, keeping it like that. Could you tell me the cost of the sanitation building that is being held at ransom without occupying? How much you pay the security and the lights and such like in an occupied building, unoccupied building? When you get that answer, you can tell people, I can enter my car and I can keep listening to you throughout the day. But thank you for the little time. You put some good information on the turf so that the public could look at it and find out what is happening to our country. And don't forget, if Stuart did not give Hyatt that spot of land, Barbados would not be a confused around Bridgestone today. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir. Yondier, good morning.
Happy New Year to you.
And to you. How are you today?
I'm good.
Go right ahead, sir.
Next time the historian calls you, you give him time to speak before interrupting him.
Who's the historian?
The girl who just spoke to you.
Oh, he's a historian?
Mm-hmm.
I guess everybody has their own perspective on history.
Well, I am not going to say anything about this part because I remember well when Independence Square was being redone. I was critical. Then I had come and apologize. So, the only thing I would add if there isn't a way that you can incorporate deforestation with the project, where it can be used as a museum, where a booth will be established that it can give tips and information about for prevention and safety. And also have people given a bit of history of deforestation of the settlement.
Do you need to have that building there to do that?
Well, it's a part of history. That's why I was saying that it should be incorporated. It can be incorporated in the project. I am just a bill.
I'll tell you what I like to see. I would like to see a scale, not drawing, but a replica of some sort, a scale where they can show us everything on that project. My only concern is the overall plan for this whole area. I've traveled extensively, and one of the problems that I find in Bridgetown is that we do not have enough green spaces, and we don't have enough places to walk, and they're not well lit. And I have a severe problem with having two bus terminals, one down Cheapside and one here at Fairchild Street. And I would like to see us have one large bus terminal that incorporates, and I know it ain't gonna happen, but right, where at the bottom it's all the shops, the vendors' shops and whatnot, and then at the top, as you go up, you can go upstairs by escalator or elevator or stairs, and you have two or three layers on top where it carries all the routes, and it'll be stretching from where it is right now, right across here in front of Starcom, right across. A one huge building, so that there'll be enough room for vendors, there'll be enough room for all the buses and the minibuses, and we can have a much more organized service. But as I said, I know that will happen because that will cost millions of dollars. But the whole thing about it is that when you're going to rehabilitate the Fairchild Street bus terminal, and the vendors are going to be behind the terminal, I'm trying to figure out what you're going to do to help to drive the traffic, the pedestrian traffic, from the buses to the vendors. Because generally speaking, in most places that I've certainly traveled, I've seen you come through the shopping area to get to your transport. So whether that is in using planes, whether that's using buses or trains, that is the normal thing. So it's a concern, but I understand we got to work with what we have. And this is an urgent type of situation because there are people's livelihoods that are on the line here. But the project itself, I can hear talk now, the project itself, I think is a marvelous idea. It will certainly bring another green space to the area. I also feel that we hopefully will see something done to accommodate the fire service, at least have one unit within Bridgetown itself. Even if it's just one smaller unit in Bridgetown. So, with a skeleton crew on with that unit. But as I said, those are my ideas. I didn't give any preparatory remarks because I had Joanne, so that's one of the things that I want to say. And since you raised it, I brought it, but you will have your time. So go ahead, Mr. P.
They may not do everything that you mentioned.
I don't do nothing they want.
Do a bit. You never know.
Right? It may be incorporated. Yeah, who knows?
I hope that no caller to this program. There's one who had accused Joanne about getting the job and salary and all of that. She is a very wonderful person. And most importantly, she listens. She listens. And that is one of the most important things of achievement. Sadly, there's any project that comes inconvenient. But you know when you get the reward? When that project has been completed and you see and you have the benefits from it.
Before you go off of that, you made the point just now. I was unaware of it, but you made the point that you were against the changes in Independence Square.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I don't think that anyone who was aware of what quote unquote Independence Square looked like then could say something about it now. I mean, it was a car park.
Yeah.
I know, not the best car park either.
No,
but look at it now. Yeah, and look how that has lifted. Look how the whole area.
Exactly.
Okay.
So
the ambience of the whole of Bridgetown. I mean, it's beautiful. And when especially when you get photographers who know what they're doing, and they take photographs, and you see these things in magazines of Barbados, you know, I see people say, "Wow, this place is really beautiful. We got to come there." I've heard that. I've heard that and I've seen that. These people didn't even know I was Barbadian, you know? And it makes you, it tugs at your heart, man. It really makes you feel good.
I would like people to stop putting politics into these things. That's true. I am sick and tired of it. I don't like it. Try to see things as they are. I try to give credit to those who implement these projects. Mm-hmm. No.
Anyway, you can go on to your other point. Sorry. So,
one thing here, right? And I want to know because I am quoting from the Barbados Area Court Third Edition 2010. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to know if that court has been updated, if it has been amended, whatever. The reason being, I've talked about this before, people talk about, I talk about things all the time, but I thought because they want to hear responses and they want to see results. On page 51, in a yellow column, there's this written in this box, carrying life, human cargo, persons driving open back pickup trucks or similar, you are reminded that special permission is required if you have persons traveling at the back. Be aware that you are transporting human cargo. And extra care must be taken, when turning corners, descending and ascending inclines, adequate seating must also be provided for those passengers in the distress of the truck. Note what I just said, adequate seating. I have seen and I've spoken about this time after time, trucks or vehicles that my ML have their workers sitting on the piece of wood stretched across the street with nothing to keep them in place. I have seen since then a Ministry of Public Works truck, every seat have been outfitted with seat belts, and they must compliment them on that. But I have seen a lot of NPC, NCC, and NSC. I want to know if government vehicles are exempt from this. The focus is on safety. It is on safety. Why then is this thing allowed? Why? I think that this thing needs to be looked at because when you see these kind of things happening and they see a man in a car or a woman in a car with a seatbelt and she's being reported, that cannot be fair.
Double standard.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I will keep on talking about it until somebody may respond or something is done. For all of those who want to come and say that, I always find what you say all the time, mm-hmm. when a freaker is about mm-hmm. people's safety.
Mm-hmm.
You have yourself there, and I sincerely hope that murder we had recently will be the first and last. People need to walk away. It does not make you weak when you walk away. A matter of fact, you are the stronger person. Well, it makes no sense doing these things. And then when you're in the cell now, defaulting, if I could have, I should have. It don't make sense. think about, when you reach that level of anger, think about somebody positive in your life.
Thank you, Mr. P. You certainly raised two interesting points, and thank you very much for your contribution. We go to another call. Good morning. You're on the air. Hello. You're on the air. Good morning. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, morning, Sanka.
Yes, sir. Hi, Glenn.
Hi, Glenn. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you.
I don't think we spoke yet for the New Year, have we?
Happy New Year, man.
Same to you. Happy New Year. I look forward to many interesting encounters with you. It won't fall far more as the year progresses to keep the public debate going, you know. Barbados has had a history of robust debate, issues after issues, and I think that that has led to our, some people deem it to be, but I've always seen that it's want us striving for better or the best, and I like to encourage the discussion on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank Joyanne this morning for the information she gave about the consequences of the action being taken on that site at National Insurance Building, the public's fire service building on Probain Fairchild Street.
Mm-hmm.
It gives a sense of as things progress with actual project hitting the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And in her presentation, she made a very salient point when she said that she was dealing with the vendors and said that they respect the vendors highly, and therefore they'll be keeping them informed as they go along to make sure that their livelihood, et cetera, is not endangered.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when she said that, it made me realize that I wish that we had had a similar courtesy, a respect extended to the general public for this project. Because I had no idea what to expect when the project materialized or when it's finished. I've never seen an artist's impression. I've mm-hmm. never seen or heard, and I follow things really closely, unless I missed it, you can tell me. I've never heard a rationale given, a coherent rationale given for the, just that the building was unoccupied, the all NIS building was unoccupied for a long time, etc. It was becoming the last day it was going to be taken down, but there was no reason given as to structure, whether it can be rehabilitated, what it would cost, so that the public would get to appreciate what is going. And therefore, I think the controversy is that we are having now is an own goal. It was unnecessary if what Joanne is doing now had been done prior to the project being decided upon. And you see what I mean? I don't know if...
I would like to respond to you, Glenn, because I agree with you. Totally. Okay. But I get the distinct impression, in fact, one of the questions I asked her was about that letter that was sent from the Transport Board to the vendors. Now, the Transport Board apparently is, based on what Joanne is saying, is part and parcel of this group of stakeholders who are involved. I get the distinct impression, and you know, Joanne being the diplomat that she is not going to say anything, but I get the distinct impression that they jumped the gun. And because they did, the rollout that was intended couldn't take place. So now, instead of their being able to manage that rollout, they're now playing catch up. That is the distinct impression that I get.
Yeah.
And as an old newsman, when you put your smellers on, I suspect you may be able to feed it up too. Right?
Well, if it was a good newsman, if a word is changed or out of place, that is a news story. Something has happened. That's what they go for.
So I suspect this is what is happening because Joanne made the point that they're now going to have talks with Barvin, and she will not be discussing anything in the media until they first speak with the vendors. Now, that clearly says that what the Transport Board did was that they jumped the gun. They somehow went ahead and began to talk about something that they were not supposed to talk about because a rollout was supposed to be done, and clearly it was not done in the way in which it should have been done.
But I was looking at it from a wider perspective. Beyond that, the policy behind the decision, and nobody explained the policy decision behind the project.
Mm-hmm.
First, they said the building was going to go, it was going to be a park, and then you hear it was going to be a freedom park. There was no rationale given as to how we got to that point, what it would look like, what it would encompass, so that you get an appreciation, because that's an historic
thing. Glenn, let me cut you in here. I was curious about this, and so I just did a Google search. Article: Golden Square Rebirth, July 26, 2018. And if you just go on Google, and this was I'll just read it.
written by whom?
This is in Barbados today. As a small group of Barbadians gathered in the historic Golden Square today to commemorate the Day of National Significance, Prime Minister Mia Mottley suggested it was time to say goodbye to the old National Insurance Scheme building located right next door. During her feature address, the island's first female prime minister indicated that the building, which was marred by health and environmental issues, was ruining the beauty of the historic city and also possibly affecting those who travel through the island's capital. The abandoned building on Fairchild Street, the city, has attracted the description of sick building for more than 5 years after being barred from the public. The prime minister contended this morning's celebrations in Golden Square, which was the venue for many of the national hero Clement Paine's most important speeches in 1937, was steeped in unpleasant surroundings. Stressing her point, she said, the derelict building located in, quote-unquote, a prime space in this city, blocked the view of the picturesque Independence Square as well. Quote, we cannot celebrate who we are in circumstances that reflect beauty when we have a building behind us that reminds us how sick it made people and how empty it is today. We have to understand that in the same way Clement Paine could not tolerate circumstances that literally choked the oxygen out of the people of this land, in this area, that building can no longer choke the oxygen out of people who occupy and come through Bridgetown on a daily basis. It cannot be that something so derelict and so sick occupies a prime space in this country, in this city, she added. Mottley also revealed that the Provence Street Market, which was meant to be a temporary structure, would eventually be relocated to, quote-unquote, give air and breath to the hallowed site of the Golden Square as her government proceeds with plans to construct a monumental wall that will carry the names of those persons who contributed to the 1930s rebellions. And it just goes on. But as I said, you can Google it. It's called Golden Square Rebirth, July 26, 2018.
Now that you mentioned the monumental wall, that jogged my memory. I was wrong. I apologize. I forgot that part about the July speech, and I was wrong in that regard. So it missed. But I remember it now that you mentioned the wall. That confirmed what you're saying. And I think those are very laudable ideas and objectives, and I was wrong because I had missed it, and I apologize for, I have to apologize myself then for missing it. But because before you go, and thanks, like I said, thanks for drawing to my attention. And I heard it earlier. But the point is what it is.
Point still remains, Glenn, because we were all prone to forget. The point that you're making and the point about seeing illustrations and whatnot would be helpful. But as I said, I suspect, because Joyanne did not want to go into any details at this time, but I suspect that the rollout for this whole project got messed up because of the whole thing with the transport board. Because what Joyanne is not saying, you have to read between the words between what people is, not saying. I suspect that this whole thing just got messed up, and it's now been accelerated because of the transport board hiccup.
Can you give me another minute or so?
Yes, go ahead.
Two things. The reason why, but I still think that Jerry was talking about it, but I think we need it should have been involved in the Ministry of Housing to give that kind of comprehensive reminder as part of their PR and the whole thing. Because I still believe that process matters and you just don't do things.
Mm-hmm.
But I was particularly, I had very fond memories of the NAS site because that was, and I also have fond memories of the Barrowing site because I remember the little boy coming from Cornwall and going to the bus stand and watching the action of the Dixie Club. When the U.S. sailors particularly came in and there was a lot of music and dancing and drinking and merriment and that. I was fascinated as to the mixture of the blacks and the whites, mostly black and white soldiers, sailors, etc., and ladies of the day rather than the night or whatever. But that whole area has been transformed, has been lifted. Mm-hmm. So I remember that. But you also mentioned the question about fire in Bridgetown. Mm-hmm. I am concerned about, I would also wish when we are told about that the fire service building is going to be knocked down, that what would be the replace, what would be the how would you manage the process of a fire in Bridgetown? Because we still need a fire station in Bridgetown sometime that can respond quickly to anything before it becomes a major conflagration and Bridgetown gets burned down.
At least it would give that level of immediacy. And why this is, let me just cut in here to break, Glenn. Why I'm concerned about this in particular is because I recall, I don't think I ever saw it in print, but I recall having a conversation with a fire officer that I know. I knew him from when he was a little boy, and he was talking to me obviously off the record. So that's why I really couldn't do anything much more than that. And I couldn't get anybody to talk about it. But he was telling me that he had heard that that was one of the things that was going to happen. The fire service was going to be, the building had to go. And this is part of the Hyatt project. Now, this is before the government even changed. You know, and that is why, when now that it is, it's being said, you know, I'm really surprised that, you know, all this thing is coming out. Glenn, don't go anywhere. We got to take a commercial break, and we'll continue this conversation after that. So just hold on.